You're listening to VFN TV highlights at VFNKB.com. Enjoy.
Okay, let's shift a little bit. So you and Debbie, your wife, you've been married, how many years now?
48 years. I've been with her 51.
And 51
this, 49 this November, next 2 months.
That's amazing. Congratulations on that. And a lot of people today are trying to, just all these different kind of ways they're trying to find a spouse. And because we kind of left the way that God's called us to do is just hang out with other believers, live your life together and the church gathering type, and you find other women. Maybe, life was different during those days that there was a fear of God in America, like in the 1950s. Even though they didn't know God, there still was a fear of God.
Right.
And today, people, this is what Rick Joyner, Morningstar Ministry, says, the 1950s, some people didn't know God, but they feared him. But today, there's people that know him, doesn't fear him. So it's a different environment in the context of that. So did Debbie just drop out of the sky, or did you go on some internet thing and try to find her, swipe left, or what happened? How did you meet?
I think each man's got his own story with a woman. But
right.
For me, I was 16 in Fort Myers High School, and I saw this cute little brunette going along. And so I took notice of her, and finally I saw her in the cafeteria, and she was sitting with a couple girls, and I had a couple of friends, but I went up and sat right across from her.
Right.
And when I knew that I liked her. I didn't know she liked me, but I knew I liked her.
Right.
And so when we met eyes, she didn't tell me right away, she said she heard a loud voice in her head that said, "That's the man you're going to marry."
And oh, wow.
I know, isn't that amazing? And so
God backed you up.
Well, I think he has a plan for each of us.
Yes.
Now, you got to reach out with faith to believe that, but I believe he's got a plan for your life.
Right.
And this kind of confirms it with me. Mm-hmm. So we began to date. I took her out to a place called the Beehive. I mentioned in the Wally Naylor and the Bees. They were so good.
Right.
And I took her home and I was so shy.
Right.
I didn't know whether to kiss her on the first take home. I drove her home.
Right.
And later found out her mother said she couldn't even date until she was 16.
Oh, wow.
But there she was. She was 15. I gave her a goodnight kiss.
Right.
And then, as I said in the book, it's like the car floated all the way home. It really did. And then we had a date the next week to the fair. Mm-hmm. And I mentioned in the book these little white tight jeans she looked so cute in.
You did.
Yeah. And so we've had a date to the fair ever since.
Oh, that's cool.
And so she's been such an inspiration in my life. I say she's better than me. Mm-hmm. In certain ways, she is. She's so sensitive. She hears the Lord.
Right.
She heard him then. Mm-hmm. But if I could tell you 50 stories where she's told me something was going to happen, and then it happened.
Wow.
Yeah, it happened. And
that's a gift that you have a wife that can hear from the Lord.
It is. And sometimes it might be a negative thing. And I tend to be what I call a sanguine or a positive temperament.
Right.
And I'd say, don't say that.
Right.
Don't say that.
Right.
And, but what she said
then it comes to pass.
Came to pass.
Right.
And so now I've dedicated the best I can to learn to listen.
Right.
I have a hard time listening. Mm-hmm. Our marriage went pretty well, but it was all about me. Mm-hmm. It was like I was the king on the throne of what I wanted to do.
Right.
I mentioned you talked about hunting and fishing. Mm-hmm. I would hunt all night long on horseback. Oh, that was cool. I'd love to do it. Yeah.
Wow.
And I'd have a dog like Johnny Cash, and we'd catch hogs, and we'd put a small one across the saddle.
Right.
We'd ride all night long. Or maybe I would fish all night long.
Right.
Or I'd shoot pool. I loved to play billiards back in those days. Mm-hmm. I was drinking, and they would buy me a beer if I won. Mm-hmm. And so I drank free beer all night long. But that does not make a marriage, okay?
Right.
That does not.
So what changed you?
Well, we were up in Tennessee at this time. So
you didn't know the Lord at this point?
No, I'd had experience with the Lord, okay? But I was away from the Lord. I was trying to do it myself. There's somebody out there that's away from the Lord to hear my story. I want to try and tell you, God, our Father, is like the father in the prodigal. Right. He's waiting for you. Let me tell you, you can have as much of God as you want. You're the one that's holding back. Okay, so I decided we both had gone separate ways, had a horrible fight. Mm-hmm. I left and went to Nashville. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, I was there for a few days and I was working day labor just to be up there. I had to work. And somehow she found me. She said, come back home.
Wow.
And I said, well, okay. I'll come back. But I thought, we got to do something different.
Right.
I said, we got to try church. Mm-hmm. At that point, I was a little bit upset with church. I thought it was full of hypocrites. I thought they were wanting my money.
Right.
I thought they wanted to play a trip on me, a power trip about holier than thou. Mm-hmm. And I thought, I'm not going for that. I'm a free man. I'm not going for that. But then I knew I had to have some kind of foundation, because this thing of me being the king and me going off drinking and not, it was ruining our marriage.
Right.
So I tried several churches and I couldn't relate. Mm-hmm. I just felt like, once again, it was full of hypocrites, so I couldn't relate to the pastor. To be honest with you, I tried about 10 different churches. Mm-hmm. And finally, a lady, it's a sister, Skeeter Davis, okay, who's a famous country singer,
okay,
said, please come to our church. Uh-huh. It was called the Lord's Chapel, mm-hmm, in Brentwood near Nashville. And I really liked this pastor. Immediately, he set me at ease. I liked him. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, he made an offer to make a call of faith. And so I went and asked the Lord to forgive me of my sins. And the Bible became alive to me. I said, okay, this is going to be the way. This is where we're going to church. And we all three got baptized, Jonathan and Debbie, on the same day. And I can honestly say I've never looked back. Now, I've had numerous sin that I had to confess on a daily basis.
Yes.
And it's been a growing process of faith.
Right.
So that's my story. And I say, if you feel like you're away from the Lord, mm-hmm, you feel like, you know, you got in a closet somewhere and you wouldn't know the Lord, mm-hmm, I'm saying go try church to start with, or make your own call to the Lord. Because that was the biggest and the best thing I've ever done, is to call on the Lord and to save me.
So would you say that, on your mind, you were thinking one thing, but the other thing, God was drawing you to Himself, because you know, He was getting you to come to hear about Him.
Right.
Because that was the moment that shifted everything. So how did things change? I mean, I know my life just dramatically changed. You know, I can really relate to your life, you know, and how God saved me. And I think He had to save me alone, because I don't think anybody thought I could be saved, probably.
Right.
I was riding on the road at 2 o'clock in the morning on the sheriff's department on patrol, and playing music as loud as could be. I was the noise disturbance in the cruiser. They would show up, and that all of a sudden, I just had this hunger for God. You know, I just wanted God. That was like a paradigm shift. And I pulled over into a parking lot off of Mobile Highway in Pensacola, Florida. It happened to pull off into Brownsville Assembly of God, which is a dirt parking lot back then. And I'm calling dispatch going, where's Christian radio? I need to listen to Christian radio. And they're like, it don't come on until 6 o'clock in the morning by then, right? And so I sat in the parking lot, waited, you know, for Christian radio to come on, because I was just hungry for Him. And I looked up on the sign, and it said dinner Thursday night. And I thought, you know, I'm a single man, I'm at dinner. And I thought, this is a perfect opportunity to go to church. And so I walked in, and my wife and I rode down the street together, didn't know each other, pulled in the parking lot together, didn't know each other, and walked in together to that dinner that night. And we've been together ever since. I mean, God had shifted our whole life.
Wow.
And now we're together all these years. We've been married 30 years. And, but yeah, just suddenly, that's the last thing I had on my mind, you know? But then I just couldn't get enough of Him. I wanted to read the, I wasn't a book reader, but I wanted to read the Bible all the way through. They started calling me the preacher man at the sheriff's department, you know, on the radio. I'm like, I'm not a preacher man. Because you feel really, when you first saved, you're thinking, man, that's the last thing, I'm a preacher. But, you know, I got up under Pastor John Kilpatrick, who's a spiritual father to me today in the Lord. And he just mentored me and spoke into my life. And eventually even, that's, he's one that launched me into ministry, wouldn't trust me. And that there's somebody out there right now
that
they don't realize that God can take you from just, you know, where you are, and just overnight just turn you 180 degrees, and that He's got you. He loves you. He's got a plan for your life, but you have to be open to that, you know? And He just called me. I had this, it's not like God's going, Greg, come to me. John, come to me. It's this thing on your heart where God just, all of a sudden, you just want to know something about Him.
Right.
You know, and it's a relationship. So he's not forcing. He's like, will you come near to me? I'll come near to you. If you draw near to Him, He'll draw near to you. He's a promise.
Right.
And so as you turn towards Him, He turns closer to you. As you draw closer, He draws. Next thing you know, I'm like giving my life to God, you know, and I just thank God. I mean, what God has done in my life, I'm just, every day I'm just amazed, you know. I mean, as a matter of fact, from this television studio here, I lived probably maybe a tenth of a mile north of here when I was a deputy and wasn't saved. But when he saved me, he knew this day would be. And it was just crazy what God has in store for you. He's got plans. There's plans. You're thinking you have good plans for your life. God has plans you don't even know about that's better than you could ever dream about. And he wants to, you know, reveal them to you as you walk with him. So I just want to encourage you right now. If you haven't made a decision for Jesus Christ, you can make it right this moment. If that's you, I want you to pray with me. This is what I did. Just ask God into your life. I want you to pray with me right now. Say, Dear Jesus, that's right, pray with me. Dear Jesus, say, Jesus, I want you to be the Lord of my life. Come into my life. That's right. Just ask him to come into your life. You don't have to know everything in your head. Just say, come into my life. I want you to be the Lord of my life. Forgive me of my sins. That's what he came to do. He came, God offered his son. Jesus honored his father and said, I will come to live a sinless life, to pay for our sins. When he got nailed to the cross, that was because of our sins. He didn't sin. It was our sin. And he died for our sins. And because he died for our sins, and they buried him on the third day, the Father raised him from the dead, where now he sits at the right hand of the Father. He did that so you could pray right now and invite him into your life. That's what's so awesome about it. I needed forgiveness. As a matter of fact, since I got saved, I've needed forgiveness. God didn't come to make bad people good. He came to make dead people alive. And you become alive in him. And he takes you on this journey, and he gradually begins to change things in your life. And John and I both can attest that, you know, we're not the men that we used to be, but we're still not even fully what God is doing in our life. And the fact that we're here is because we said yes to him. So if that's you, right now, I want you to go to meetmyfather.org, or I share some of my testimony about my life. And also, you can go to John as well and find out about his testimony. But just we want to hear from you. You made that decision. Welcome to the family of God. I mean, maybe you're going to have the next book that you write about your journey. I'm so excited about you being in the family of God.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the VFN TV and the daily radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at vfnkb.com. And don't forget about our VFNKB app. No matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share it with your friends. Connect and sign up for the next webinar or attend our next summit at vfnkb.com. VFN TV and the daily radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light.